You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning, everybody. Good to have you attending Breakout Radio Church. From our ministry center here in Austin, Texas on this early Sunday morning. Wow. Here we are broadcasting live from our ministry center at bpnradio.com. And Gene and I are welcoming all of you to church today. And of course, it's going to be a wonderful service this morning here on this last Sunday of April. Remember that Breakout Radio Church is a global missions church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. We're a house of prayer for all nations. And to think, church, that I have an opportunity to minister one Sunday, maybe to as many people as I've ministered to my whole entire ministry. Who knows? I'm ministering, I know, to people that are members across America and around the world, and some people that may not even be members that join us every week here at Breakout Radio Church, or at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 8 p.m. Sunday night, and then 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day of the week. So we're having churches every day of the week. The Bible says daily they were in the temple, and so that's what we want to do today. So we want to welcome all of you, and I'm going to ask Gene to come. We're going to pray. We're going to pray the will of God be done in this service this morning. I want to welcome Gene Gentry. And Gene, it's good to be leading a radio church, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Breakout family. We're so thankful for all of you and you that are joining us today.
Yes, we are. We're very, very grateful and thankful. And we're just believing for a wonderful day today. We're going to pray for the service today. We're going to pray for those of you that are in desperate need of prayer. I do want us to pray for Jenna from California. She's having surgery, I believe, on Wednesday. We need to pray for her and all of you. We want to pray for members of our Breakout Radio Church congregation that are pastors, and many of them a little bit later today will be leading their local church services. I want to pray for each of you. I want to pray for other pastors across America and congregations around the world that are having church today, are meeting to worship the Lord. And we also want to pray today for the Jewish synagogue in California, where there was a shooting yesterday, the Chabad of Poway Temple near San Diego. I think I've got that right, the Chabad of Poway Temple near San Diego. And wow, that's what a tragedy. What a tragedy when people are so full of hate and murder. And we're praying the hedge of protection about all of the congregations, people, places of worship all across our land. Father, Gene and I just set ourselves in agreement today with all of our church members.
Yes.
At Breakout Radio Church today. Your will, plan, and purpose be done today. Give us spiritual ears to hear. Give us spiritual eyes to see. Give us spiritual hearts to receive today.
Yes.
Receive the revelatory word of the Lord, because we know that one word from God can change our lives forever.
Yes.
We pray in the name of Jesus for the congregation of the Chabad Poway Temple near San Diego, California. The shooting yesterday, the woman was killed, the others were wounded, others are traumatized. We pray for them, Holy
Yes.
Spirit, that you would minister to them. We know there's only one solution, only one remedy for America, and that is another spiritual awakening, people turning to God. And we agree for that. We agree for the service today.
Yes.
Pray for Jenna and all of those who have special needs this morning. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, Godfrey's going to come. He's going to lead us in a praise song, and then Jean is going to come back, receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings as we prepare for the word of the Lord, the word that God has placed in my heart today. And so let's just set our face to seek the Lord. Can we do it? Here we go.
I will set my face to seek the Lord. I will set my face to seek the Lord. Give my full attention to my God. I will listen for His voice. I will listen for His
voice. Yes, I will. I will set my face.
I will set my face to seek the Lord. I will set my face to seek the Lord. Give my full attention to my God. I will listen for His voice. I will listen for His voice.
My wonderful counselor, my teacher, reminder, revealer, my healer, my strengthener, repairer, diviner, my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God. Forerunner and finisher, my conqueror, deliverer, restorer, my hammer, my fire, uniter, redeemer, my Jesus, my Savior,
Hallelujah. 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 I will set my face to seek the Lord. That's what we're doing today on this Sunday, church. Why don't you just lift your hands if you're not driving and praise Him with me. Father, we just praise You and honor You. Hallelujah. You're worthy of all of our praise and adoration. Your name is Jesus. You're the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. And we here at Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning, we praise You. We honor You. We magnify You. We glorify Your name. You're a good God, awesome God, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Roma nina nori bi tisoto. We bless You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One who is worthy, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. We magnify You. We glorify Your name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. We bless You today here on this Sunday morning at Breakout Radio Church. We thank You, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Well, we're going to have some worship in just a few moments, but First of all, Gene's going to come, give each of you an opportunity to give today, which just is a vital part of our church worship. And so here's Mrs. America, Gene Gentry.
I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning to give your tithe and contributions to Breakout Radio Church. As you sow a seed into this ministry, we believe that God will give increase into your finances. God is the one that gives the increase. It's seed, time, and harvest. And as we sow our seed, I think the hardest part is in the meantime, the in-between time. And that's where faith comes in. It's by faith that we believe God is bringing the harvest. We've proven Him over the years that God is faithful. When we started out 52 years ago, we had no guarantees, and we still have no guarantees. But it's your faithful giving that helps us fulfill the vision that God's put in our hearts. And we appreciate your faithfulness so much. And you can make your check to Breakout Ministries today to give and to sow your seed. Make your check out to Breakout Ministries, and that address is P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And you can give by PayPal, debit, or credit card. You just go to bpnradio.com, click on the donate button to be able to sow your seed today, and we appreciate your faithfulness so very much. That's what keeps us going here, and we're able to fulfill the vision that God has put in our hearts by your faithfulness. Thank you so very much today for your giving.
Thank you very much, Gene. And as people give today, you know, we started Breakout Radio Church almost 3 years ago. We're about a month away from celebrating our third anniversary. We didn't know how this could happen. We decided we was going to pour our energies into Breakout Radio Church, and we were going to no longer travel from place to place as we'd done for over 30 years. We didn't know if it would work, if we could make it financially. But through the faithful tithe and giving of our church members, we've been able to do it. We have to trust God every month, but God is so faithful, and we appreciate your giving. And I just want to bless those of you that are writing out a check to Breakout Ministries right now, your tithe, your contribution, and also want to bless those that may be going on to bpnradio.com and clicking the donate button and using your PayPal credit card or debit card. So as you give today, I just want to bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, Gene and I just bless the people that are giving today. Their tithe, their contributions, maybe people that are not members of Breakout Radio Church, they're giving an offering, a contribution. We just pray that you'll bless the people that are giving. Bless them abundantly, bountifully. Lord, we know you said in your word, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall the people give to you. And bring the tithe into the storehouse, wherever you get your spiritual food. If Breakout Radio Church is your church and Dale Gentry is your pastor, Dale and Gene Gentry, your pastors, then you can give your tithes and offerings to Breakout Radio Church. If you have a local church, another pastor, you're visiting the church, you be faithful to give there also. So we bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Michael's going to come lead us in worship, and then I'm going to preach a sermon that God has laid upon our hearts. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we worship you and honor you and magnify your name. You're an awesome God today. We are so thankful. Hallelujah. We worship you today. We honor you. We magnify you. Come magnify the Lord with me. The writer said, let us exalt his name together. You're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. You are Jehovah God. You are Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness. You're Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctification. You're Jehovah Shammah, our presence. You're Jehovah Shalom, our peace. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. You are Jehovah Nisi, our victory, our banner, our rear guard. There is no God like our God today. Hallelujah. We honor you today. We magnify you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. And if there are those of you that are attending Breakout Radio Church today, you're listening, you don't know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to know him, to know Jesus, the one who died and bled and suffered that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He arose on the third day. We celebrated that last Sunday. We continue to celebrate that. I want to pray for those of you that don't know the Lord. Lord, I pray today for people that are unsaved. If they were to die today, they would not go to heaven. Lord, I pray for those today that they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They could not say for sure, I'd go to heaven or hell. We can know. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to pray for those of you today that have not accepted Jesus. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about doing good deeds or good works. I'm praying for those of you today that don't know the Lord. You've never accepted him as your personal Savior. You've never asked forgiveness for your sins. Would you say this prayer after me? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. I accept your forgiveness today, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be sure of your salvation. And if you have said that prayer again, why don't you just write down the date, 4/28/19, or whatever day you're listening to this program or time. And I pray for you. Hallelujah. Get you a Bible. Begin to read. Be faithful to attend. To attend church. To Breakout Radio Church. To a local church. Wherever you can attend church. Hallelujah. And be faithful to God. Be faithful to pray. I bless you in Jesus' name. If you'd like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, all you have to do is go to BreakoutRadioChurch.com. BreakoutRadioChurch.com, and there's a membership link right there. You can fill it out and submit it. We'll add you to our rows. We pray for our members. In fact, right now I'm holding every member's name in my hands. Many pages of members. And I pray for every one of you and blessed every one of you this morning. I ask God to bless you. And so I'm holding your names in my hands. I know who the members are. And you can contact us. Just contact us. Dale Jean Gentry at cs.com. That's our personal email address. If you need me to call, you need us to call, you need prayer, whatever you need, DaleJeanGentry at cs. C as in Cal, S as in Sam. Dale Jean Gentry at cs.com. God bless you very, very much. Church, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 28 this morning. God has put a message in my heart. Every week I seek God and say, Lord, give me a word for the church. And I'm so thankful that he does that. Genesis chapter 28, beginning with verse number 10. Here's what it said. Now Jacob left Beersheba, and he came to a certain place and stayed overnight. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. He dreamed. He dreamed that there was a ladder, stairway placed on the earth, and the top of it reached toward heaven, out of sight toward heaven, one translation says. He saw the angels of God ascending and descending on it, going to and from heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above and around him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father's father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land of promise on which you are lying. Your descendants shall be as countless as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all the families, nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. He said, behold, I'm with you and will keep careful watch over you and guard you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this promised land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place, and I did not realize it. So he was afraid and said, how fearful and awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. One translation says, Jacob woke up from his sleep. He said, God is in this place. Truly, I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. So I believe this is the first reference in the Bible to the church that we know today did not begin in a building, as most of us know it today, but it began out in the open, where a man by the name of Jacob laid down. Later, his name was changed to Israel. God changed his walk, his rhythm, and changed his name. But there he had there at the house of God, Jacob had an encounter with God that literally changed his life forever. That's really what should be happening when we go to the house of God. It's got to be more than just a program. It's got to be more than just a song and a sermon or some type of outline. It's got to be a place where we go and we receive revelation. Church has got to be a place where we hear from God. We hear from God, and it may be in a church building per se. It could be an apartment house. It could be out in the open. It could be under a tent. It could be via radio or internet. I don't know, but it's got to be a place where we can gather and we can hear from God. And the Bible said that Jacob set up an altar. What is the church about? The church is about an altar. It's about prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'm going to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so church has got to be a place where we go and we worship him and we hear from God. And so Jacob said, this is the house of God. And it was not what we know as a local church today, but evidently it was a translocal place where he knew that he heard from God. He saw God. He had revelation. God opened his spiritual eyes. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful today that God established the church upon revelation. And Jesus, he confirmed that in the book of Matthew. Here's what he said. He said, now when Jesus had gone into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's a very important question. Who do you say that I am? Hey, church, who do you say that the Lord is? Simon Peter, of course, he was very quick to reply. He replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happily, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, overpower against it. He said, I will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven. And when whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper or unlawful on earth, I will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, will all have already been loosed in heaven. So what happened that day? Jesus, with his disciples, wanted to know a definition of the church. Who do they think that the church is? There's a lot of people that have a misconception about what the church is. They feel like if the church is a mortar and wood and stone, and I'm thankful for church buildings. We used to just build, when I was growing up, a church building could only be in a building that was erected to look like a church with a cross on top or somewhere. Then we find that churches begin to move into different facilities and warehouses and different places. But still, it was a church because people were gathering there. And so Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples what the church was. What was it that Jacob, who later became Israel, what did he proclaim? What did he see? And Simon Peter, he had revelation. And he declared, that, he didn't say the church is going to build upon me, but Jesus said on that confession, on that revelation, the church is being built. And so we got to realize, ladies and gentlemen, we got to remember Breakout Radio Church. When we attend church, however it may be, wherever it may be, it's got to be a place where we can worship Jesus. We can exalt him. We can honor him. And there needs to be a word from God, someone who has revelation, a pastor, an elder, a church leader who has revelation to declare what God is saying to that particular group, wherever they may be and however they may be gathering. So Jesus was saying to Simon Peter, you got it. This is by revelation. The church is by revelation. The church operates out of revelation. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts and all sorts of regulations, but the church operates out of revelation, and people come together as the body of Christ, the house, to attend the house of God, to receive revelation of what God, what the Holy Ghost is saying to them in that particular day, in that particular time. And so Jesus said, he said to Simon Peter, on this revelation, that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. He said, I'm going to build my church. Not on Peter. Peter was about to deny Jesus. He said, but I'm going to build it on the rock. And who is the rock? The rock is Christ Jesus. David cried out, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Who was the rock? The rock was Christ Jesus, who was from the beginning. And so Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to give those who are a part of the church, I'm going to give them great authority. Whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth will be loose in heaven. The authority that is given to the church is quite amazing. That's why Satan hates the church, wherever it may be, in whatever nation or whatever nations or whatever city or whatever town or whatever hamlet, whatever county, whatever parish, wherever it may be. He hates the church because the church represents Jesus Christ. And so we know that Jesus wanted a continuation of what began there in Genesis 28. He wanted a continuation of what he was building before he ascended back into heaven. And that was the church. A church was the house of God, the body of Christ. He said, it's my body. And when you take communion, when we take communion together, we are remembering the body of Christ. This is my body, which was broken for you. And so we honor, we remember Jesus is the focus of the church, not the pastor, not the worship leaders, not the singers, but Jesus, not the building, not the program, but Jesus is the center. He is the focal point of the church. And if it's any other way, it's not a true house of God. It may be just a meeting place, but it's not a true church. The true church is where we meet and we receive revelation. We exalt Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, proclaiming the house of God is one where we acknowledge Jesus is Lord of our lives and Jesus is Lord of our congregation. I believe in the local church. I believe in the local church. There may be some people that feel like, hey, you're leading a radio church. So you still believe in the local church? Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not anti-local church. On the contrary, I'm very local church. I grew up in a local church. My dad was a Pentecostal pastor of a local church. He got his 50-year pen with the Assemblies of God because he ministered in local churches. The AG movement gave me my start in ministry, ordained me to preach the gospel. Gene and I spent 23 years serving as senior pastors or lead pastors of four different local church congregations, which was my honor and my privilege to shepherd thousands of church members along the way. And for over 30 years, we traveled across America and around the world preaching in local churches in city after city, town after town, nation after nation. I believe in the local church. But today, Gene and I, of course, are serving as pastors in a different type of church, a different capacity of church. And how did that happen? It came by revelation, because we understand that there are millions of people across America and around the world that do not have a local church to attend. They may have a local church, but they don't attend a local church. I know that Fox News recently reported about the major decline in church attendance across America, that church attendance is now at an all-time low, with more than half of our nation's national population no longer attending church. Even some who claim to be members of a local church no longer attend, except maybe for two or three times a year, and maybe perhaps none. A man recently gave me statistics from a town that is near where we live. A small town adjacent to where we live reported that only 17% of its population attend church. It speaks of a danger point in our society, in our nation, but it also speaks of the need to reach the unchurched population in America and around the world. And I believe that all of this is changing at this moment, because many people are realizing that a local building is so important. I mean, Gene and I are part of a local building, a local church in Austin, Texas, with a pastor and elders who laid hands on us when we moved to Austin and the first week and received us as a part of the congregation. And as a couple, we've spent 52 years, over 52 years in local churches. I grew up in a local church. And so, Gene, I've given our lives as pastor, revivalist, prophetic voice to leading churches nationally and internationally. But I realize today that persecution is increasing around the land, is increasing across America and around the globe. Not only persecution, but people's loss of interest in church. One man said to me, I love Jesus, but I'm just so tired of getting dressed, driving to church, fighting the traffic in the parking lot, making my way into the church, sitting there for only an hour, and then making my way out of the church and driving back home. And so that voice is crescendoed in many, many places, because some people are growing weary of just going to a church where there is no worship. There is no true worship. There's no revelation giving. No one is asked to be saved. In many instances, no one is being invited to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In many instances, people come there empty and leave. leave empty because they come sick. They were not prayed for. And so it's become a program, and so many people are dropping out, particularly millennials that feel no need in going, and they just feel like it is not being profitable. And so we have a drop in church attendance. And so it's a major problem in America. We need revival. We need churches that have a vision to reach the lost. And so even though Gene and I were members of a local church, God gave us a revelation of having a translocal church, an international church, where we begin to declare the word of the Lord to people across America and around the world. And God put it in our heart to pioneer a worldwide radio church designed particularly for those that don't have a church or a pastor or unable to attend a local church, providing them with a spiritual covering, a place where they can receive spiritual food, prayer, encouragement, wise counsel when needed, a church where they're being prayed for on a regular basis. And some people, they feel like they are out there with no help, not a part of any type of congregation, with not a pastor. But Gene and I, you realize we have spent 52 years preparing for this time to reach out to lead a church that is reaching people around the world. And do you realize today that there are people in America and other places in America that don't go to church because they don't want to go to church? That does not necessarily mean that they're backslidden. That does not necessarily mean that they are out of touch with the Lord. You know, I know of people that love Jesus. I know they're on their way to heaven, but they don't attend a local church. And sometimes over the years, we have focused more on people attending church, inviting people to attend church, than inviting people to be saved, to know Jesus. I do believe it's important that we invite people to church, but so many times, and I'm guilty of that over the past, just getting out, inviting people to church, but never asking them, do you know Jesus? If you would die today, where would you go? Will you spend eternity in heaven or hell? Eternity is a long time. So we focused a lot on that. And instead of winning people to Jesus Christ. And we're a part of a church in Fort Worth, Texas that has given themselves. They've given themselves not just to invite people to church, but since September of 2017, they have given themselves to winning the lost, winning people to Jesus, people that don't know the Lord. And Calvary Cathedral International, Fort Worth, Texas, since September of 2012, has won 127,648 people to Jesus. Less than 1,000 of them, of the 127,000, attend a local church, as far as we know. But Calvary Cathedral is not focused on inviting thousands to church, although we're not discounting that, but inviting them to know Jesus and actually having cards on them where they can contact them. And even though many of them do not have transportation, even though buses are rented and they bring people on buses, those that they can, many people are not able to attend the church as a part of the body of Christ. And that is where others come in, maybe taking church to their neighborhood, maybe in an apartment building, maybe in an open field. I don't know. Or maybe they can be a part of Breakout Radio Church. If they have anywhere there's an internet connection across America and around the world, people can be a part of a Breakout Radio Church. What makes this a church? It's not a local church, but we are a house of God. We're a house of God because we worship God. We bring revelation. People get a word from God. They hear from God as they attend Breakout Radio Church. And we make it available not only Sundays, but also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. So what is Breakout Radio Church all about? Trying to proselyte people from attending a local church and join our church? Absolutely not. But we are reaching out to those who may not have a local church or a pastor, or who may not have transportation to attend a local church, or they may have to work on a Sunday, or they may be incapacitated. Do you realize there are millions of people who do not attend church, and there are millions of people around the world who cannot attend church? Some in nations where they're not even permitted to attend church because there are no local churches where the gospel is preached, where there are no church buildings. I do believe in church buildings. I believe that they are good, except for church buildings where they become the focus of the ministry. I know there are many congregations that are millions and millions of dollars in debt today because they are trying to make their payments on their local church. You know, several years ago, I ministered in Lakeland, Florida. The pastor of that church took me to a church building that one time seated this over 6,000 people, and the birds were now the church was now being occupied by birds and all sorts of varmints because they could not make the payments, and they had to turn the building back to the loan company. It just sits there as a bad testimony to a congregation that overbuilt, that overspent. I believe in the local church, but I don't believe that the church ought to be so in debt that that is the focus of their church services, trying to raise money to pay for their building or pay off their building. Although those that are in debt, I'm praying that you will soon and very soon. And so I believe that the church is a place that has a pastor that gives oversight to the congregation, prays for them on a regular basis. And there may be a pastor or missionary who does not have a pastor. I know that we have many pastors and missionaries who call me their pastor and who call Breakout Radio Church their home church. Why am I saying all of this? Because Breakout Radio Church has a vision and a cause to preach the gospel around the world, to provide pastoral care and a spiritual covering. And having congregations to join me in calling America to pray, we are a house of prayer for all nations. And we must pray for America because we are a nation that is in jeopardy. There's a lot of persecution against the church, against the name of Jesus. Do you realize that so many events will not include the name of Jesus? Our public schools will not allow the name of Jesus to be spoken. So many events, they say, let's do a silent prayer, but they cannot name the name of Jesus. As a result, we are a nation in a decline, particularly a moral decline, an incredible landslide that has come against our nation, and we are inviting our enemies to take us captive if there's not repentance, if there is not a proper response. And where does repentance begin, church? It begins in the house of the Lord. It begins, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and repent. So we are in a nation. We are in a nation where the house of God must repent. If it's a local church in a building with a cross on it, or if it's in a church in a nursing home, or if it's in a house church, or if it's in a church on a campus, or a church in a theater, in a church on an open field, online church, or radio church like Breakout Radio Church, we must declare as the house of God that we must call for repentance in the house of God and repentance in our nation, because we are living in a nation that is not ashamed. You know, Jeremiah, he spoke this twice. He spoke these words twice in the book of Jeremiah. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? He said, no, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. And he said it again, were they ashamed? when they had committed abominations. No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Spoke it twice. You find very, very passages, times in Scripture where a prophet repeats the word. But he was repeating a warning to nations that no longer could be ashamed. They would not blush at their sin. And today we're living in a land that will not repent. And they must repent. And we must show them as a church, we must show them the way to repent. Repenting for the sins of our nation. We are living now in a time of bizarre happenings where people will not repent for killing over 61 million babies in America. And it was abortion started out by a Supreme Court that ruled that it was legal to have an abortion. But I'm sure they did not dream of the day when babies would not only be legalized to be killed in the womb, not only of the first or second or third trimester, but it would be legal to kill them out of the womb. Once the baby was born, in consultation with the doctor and the mother, it would be legalized to kill the baby outside of the womb. Who could have ever dreamed? Who could have ever believed that we'd be living in this day and this time? In this day and this time, it's bizarre. It's bizarre that we're living. It's because we're living in a nation. Living in a nation where there are inordinate procedures happening, and we're living in a day where we have crossed the boundaries, and we have gone mad. And just one example is, it says, I read just yesterday a slide from a top level biology course at the University of California, San Diego, went viral this week. It purported to explain to students the parallels between fetuses and cancers. The fetus was described as a legitimate parasite that rapidly grows and invades, just like a cancer, which also rapidly grows and invades. Describing developing babies as invading parasites explains why progressives continually insist that abortion is essential to a woman's health care. What are they saying? If a woman has a cancer, that cancer has to be removed for a woman to have good health care. They're saying the same thing. If a woman gets pregnant and a fetus invades the body just like a cancer does, that fetus has to be removed in order for the woman to have good health care. We have gone mad. Jeremiah said, could they blush? No, they could not blush. We must fight back. We must not be silent. You know, a week or two ago, there was a pastor that was calling all the pastors in America to talk about abortion. And I was thinking, are there actually pastors in America that are not talking about abortion? Could it be that they've gone silent because they don't want to make anybody feel guilty? It's like saying, I'm not going to preach against adultery because I don't want to make anybody that's committed adultery feel guilty. It's like, I'm not going to preach against stealing because I don't want anybody that has stolen to feel guilty. I'm not going to preach against drinking alcohol because I don't want anybody that may be drinking wine. David Wilkerson, who I was called to preach under, he called them sipping saints. He never dreamed that they would be drinking saints, not just drinking wine, but drinking alcohol. And some pastors are afraid to mention what the Bible actually says about it, and what we do in moderation, our children, grandchildren will do in excess. But it's an inordinate, I call it an inordinate mixture. We have brought the devil, not only has invaded Broadway, but he has invaded the church. And the church has become in many ways silent as sin enters the church, as immorality enters the church. And we are not fighting back. We're not saying anything. I'm thankful for James Dobson and Focus on the Family that this Saturday we'll be showing a 4D anti-abortion presentation on a large jumbotron in Times Square. Thank God for James Dobson and Focus on the Family. One of my spiritual grandsons has written a song about abortion. He'll be singing it there this Saturday, and people from all across America will have an opportunity to pray and to view. And because the mayor of New York City is has responded to abortion in a laughing matter, he is James Dodson, Focus on the Family, are fighting back. And it will happen this Saturday. We need to pray. You know, Gene and I, we are living in a time of hard-heartedness. Gene and I attended the movie Unplanned, the story of Abby Johnson, who lives in Austin, Texas. And she was she gave oversight to 22,000 abortions with Planned Parenthood. We went to see the movie. I could not hold back the tears. And as we stood up to leave, there were actually people on our row that were laughing and in a mocking spirit. And I was thinking, God, how could this be happening in the United States of America? How it could be happening that we are laughing about sin, that we are mocking at sin? You say, well, you're verging on legalism. No, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about unrighteousness, and that somebody needs to say something. And, you know, even men like Franklin Graham, thank God for Franklin Graham. Here's what he said concerning the presidential election, because we know that the Democratic Party, they are endorsing homosexuality, and one of the leading candidates is now proclaiming that he is a homosexual. Not only is he a homosexual, but he has a husband of the same sex. Here's what Franklin Graham said. Evangelist Franklin Graham is once again challenging the comments about Christianity and homosexuality that were made recently by Democratic presidential candidate Mayor Pete. Pete has been critical of Christian leaders like Vice President Mike Pence, who stand for the biblical definition of marriage. He said, we know that Mayor Pete from Indiana is a homosexual and is married to another man. Evangelist Franklin Graham is once again challenging the comments. And Mayor Pete has been very critical, answering multiple questions, comments about Mayor Pete that Mayor Pete made about God. Graham tweeted, presidential candidate in South Bend Mayor Pete, God doesn't have a political party, but God does have commandments, laws, and standards he gives us to live by. God doesn't change. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Graham continued, Mayor Pete says he's a gay Christian. As a Christian, I believe the Bible, which defines homosexuality as sin, something to be repentant of, not something to be flaunted, praised, or politicized. The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman, not two men, not two women. He said the core of the Christian faith is believing and following Jesus Christ, who God sent to be the Savior of the world. So many pastors will not speak out. One pastor said, I spoke out and 46 members of my church got up and walked out. That's in the Bible Belt, because they said, we have friends that are gay or homosexual. Are homosexuals and gays welcome to come to church? Absolutely. Absolutely. But should they be serving in places of leadership? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And yet so many churches are welcoming them in with open arms. I call it an inordinate mixture. Gene and I recently saw a country music video that went something like this. I'm going to read the lyrics. God and country music, like whiskey and a prayer, like Johnny Cash's arm around Billy Graham. God and country music, they both never really change. You find them when you need them, where you stand. There's always lost in the found and darkness in the I saw the light. It's living in these small towns in some church or back road honky-tonk tonight. It's dance between sin and salvation. Come hell or high water, there's two things still worth saving. God and country music. Folded hands and guitar strings, jukebox preachers and angel sings, call you like they knew you between the hell and the hallelujah. And so what they are saying is you go to the dance, to the bar, to the joint on Saturday night, you get drunk, you commit adultery, and then you go to church on Sunday morning and you repent of your sins. It's God and country music. It's an ordinate. It's an inordinate measure. It's an inordinate manner. And so many, many today are compromising, allowing things in and allowing things to happen that should not be happening. What is happening today, what I call inordinate mixtures, are infiltrating the church. We're mixing Saturday night and Sunday morning. We're mixing the honky tonk and the Sunday morning service. We're mixing the honky tonk and the church, and say there is no difference. They both go together. They both go flow together. And so we got to realize today where we're at. The church must wake up and realize that there needs to be a time of repentance. What does Galatians chapter 5 say? It says the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, and the likes of which includes homosexuality and drunkenness. We are a nation whose only hope is of the Lord, but the spirit of deception must be broken. And the house of God, whether it be a local church or a nursing home or a radio church or in an open field where Jacob was, whatever it may be, we must realize that the house of God must call upon the name of the Lord. We must call upon the name of the Lord. We must repent of our sins, and we must go back to holiness. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about purity, where we know the Lord, and there is a stand for something, and the preachers are identifying what is right and what is not right. Ezekiel said we need to determine the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and unholiness. And I believe today that God wants to remove the inordinate mixtures out of the church, regardless of the financial cost or regardless of the persecution or even if the pastor or elders are removed, whatever it may be. We must have revival in our church. And first of all, it must start with a revival of repentance. It starts in the church, not in the joint down the street or not in the place down the street. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray in Jesus' name for the church today. I pray, Lord, for an ordinate church. And I pray concerning inordinate ministries today that's crept into the church and caused us to back off. In Jesus' name, I pray that we'll not back off, but we'll preach the truth. You said we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message, and thank you for this day, and thank you for Breakout Radio Church. God bless you. Don't forget this service is repeated at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 8 p.m. on Sunday night, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day of the week. God bless you for attending. Jean, we love everyone, don't we?
Yes, we do. We appreciate you, appreciate your faithfulness, and we just pray blessings on you and your family. Have a great day, and know that we love you.
We love you. And remember, there's preaching throughout the day on bpnradio.com. We call it Preaching Sunday. Preaching throughout the day because we believe in preaching. Next Sunday, I'll be prophesying over some of you members. It's going to be a prophetic Sunday. It's going to be a great day. So join us, and keep listening. Keep praying, because I believe the best is yet to come. Have a wonderful day. We sure love you.